Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. I'm hoping that this series is starting to make some inroads into our thinking, our daily thinking, becoming a fabric of our being. I pray that that's what's happening. It can be life-changing if we will allow the Word of God to do what we just sang for this song to do. That it would definitely change our hearts, sink into our heart and mind, and deep down into our soul, in Jesus' name. Let's go back to our foundation text again. Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verse 11. Hebrews 4, 11. Many moons ago, are you turning there, when we were introducing this subject matter, we talked about the busyness that our lives are often marked with. Remember that? Yeah. Overcommitment, overworking, a lack of self-care. On the outside, we might be seen as someone who is passionate about the Lord Jesus, but inside and beneath the surface, there's a soul that's struggling. We struggle. We're easily controlled by other people's opinions. We are defensive souls, if you will, strive to cover up our weaknesses. And in covering up our weaknesses, guess what we do? We never deal with them. We don't know what to do with our weaknesses, and they never get dealt with. So what happens? What builds up? One of the things is anger builds up, because you're never being taken care of properly by the Lord. But it's not His fault. It's our fault. We're building up a wall. You know, Psalm 23 is often misunderstood. When it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." Now, I know you've heard this many times, but it still bears repeating, because the prosperity movement would say, "Well, there it is, we shall not lack." So we're not supposed to ever lack. Lack in health, lack in finances, lack in peace. That is an absolute bludgeoning of the interpretation of that verse. You want to mess yourself up? Interpret the scripture that way. Because one of the main writers of the Psalms was David, who lacked for a whole lot of stuff. He lacked for peace. He lacked for proper parenting of his sons. He lacked for safety, because they were out to try to kill him. And he had to hide in the wilderness. He had Saul coming after him. He lacked for a whole lot of things. We won't talk about the lack of Apostle Paul or Ezekiel or Isaiah or Jeremiah. Jesus lacked while he was here on this earth. Man. So it can't mean that. What it means is that the Lord, who is your shepherd, who is my shepherd, which is protector, provider, and guide. A shepherd protects the sheep, he provides for the sheep, and he guides the sheep. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sheep, dumbest, weakest, helpless animal in the animal kingdom. Amen. And I know we with our, well, I hope not here, but throughout the body of Christ, with our secular humanistic leanings, tend to take offense at that. But you have to remember, I didn't call you sheep. I didn't choose to call you that. God did. Your father, my father. Your master, my master. Your owner, my owner. Your shepherd, my shepherd. Amen. And he certainly
did make a mistake in calling us that. Because if it weren't for him, we would walk out just like a sheep would in the middle of 94 and become roadkill all over four or five lanes. We just don't have that sense of awareness surrounding. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. You do know. I do know. We do know that if it weren't for the Lord on our side, we wouldn't be worth two dead flies.
Amen.
We would be in hell because most of us would be dead by now. I wasn't quite with fella, but I was still stupid. I was near somewhat because we hung out with folk who carried guns. It don't take much for somebody to come by and shoot one or have one just go off accidentally. We unsaved, we in hell. Period. Where we are is really no goodness of our own. Amen. Really no goodness of our own. Nothing to do with us. Where we are has nothing to do with us.
Amen.
Do you know that if God backed off of his grace, the next second you can be outside your mind and don't know your name or where you are or what you're to do next? Your next breath is on God, and the next sense that you have, the next second that you still are sane and that you are a sane and rational being is on God.
Amen.
Shepherd, protector, provider, God. You see why we need protecting. You see why he needs to provide for us, because we wouldn't go out and get it. We weren't able to. We aren't smart enough to do it. We're so helpless, we can't climb anything, can't kill nobody. Who is sheep gonna kill to get some food? Nobody. So he needs provision, he needs, the sheep needs protection, needs, gotta provide for him, and gotta guide him. Because if you don't guide us, we'll wander off, husband, married, wander off to some old girl. We'll wander off into lies and untruths and half-truths. We'll wander off into every wind of doctrine. We'll just wander, wander, wander.
Amen.
And every wandering is going to be away from the truth.
Yeah.
And so there's a cane to just guide us back on here. No, just go this way. Knucklehead, great. Let's go on this way.
Thank you, Lord.
David began to understand that. He took it personal. That's what you have to do when you're feeling some type of way. You really ain't right. Mind sideways. Sometimes life can be fine and your mind just mostly just still sideways. I get that. I know y'all are holy and just perfect in Jesus' name. But Miss Phyllis, see, I get sideways sometimes. She just shook her head. He's going sideways. And I said, Lord, I'm feeling real crazy. Don't know why, because life is good. My baby still loves me. My daughters are wonderful. Word of life is flourishing. But you're just feeling sideways. And I just tell him that. And I just love it. We just walk it through. He just walk it through. I don't get worried about it. I just know he's there. He's going to guide me. I don't worry about it. We're human. We just human. We're just finite, broken beings. We really, really, really are. And I'll tell you what. Humility begins with understanding that you're just a broken being. And anything you do that's good is not because of you.
Amen.
It's just the grace of God that has reached for us.
Amen.
Am I in the right place?
Amen.
I love where I am in Christ Jesus. Recognizing as I'm walking down, I said, Lord, I can, the next step, I can have a stroke with know where I am. Or I can still be walking, I know who I am or where I'm going. I told you then. Neuro-ophthalmologist said I had a slight stroke in September of last year. And so I have a blind spot like right in here in the upper right quadrant that I can't see. Came from a slight mini stroke. I had no idea. Now there's a whole lot of things going on during that time. But it's just as great. I could be fully blind.
Mm-hmm.
It can get frustrating at times because sometimes I'm running red lights. Stop sign, especially when that first started, because the red light and the stop sign fell right into that blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was in the car too when I ran the stop sign. I never saw it. Like the first month, I was running all kinds because I'm just used to thinking I had to adjust to being blind in that spot. So I have to scan. I got to scan around it to see that. I could just say, Mr. Brown, I could say, man, shoot. You know, I can't read fast no more, so I'm reading like I ain't been to school. Because I got to read haltingly because I can't scan anymore. I get frustrated reading, trying to read closed captions. I love closed captions on the movie. Folk be mumbling to me at the time. I can't hear them. So look, that's hard to do that. I can just sit there and complain, right? Until you meet a guy that can't see at all. Then what you gonna do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Even this blind spot somehow is for your glory. Even if it's not necessary to keep a brother humble. We get full of ourselves so quick. I speak for me. I get full of myself so quick. I know y'all are perfect and holy. The temptation, I say, is there. So quick. And to be honest with you, I just really told the Lord, I said, you know, you really have just been super easy on me. Super easy on my life. Super easy. You know, I've had 3 surgeries in the last 3 years. Or the little mini stroke. It's just been super easy. You say, why? Because 2 Corinthians is the scariest chapter for any pastor. If you really understand what happened in 2 Corinthians, when the false prophets and teachers came in there and convinced them that Paul was no good and he was a cheater, he had a hidden life of shame, he was running women and drinking, and they convinced the church that Paul was that. And that messed him up so bad. Yeah. You read in 2 Corinthians 10. He talks about, I'm in the deep in dangers and in this and that and beatings and stoned and left for dead and all of that. Then he said, but on top of all that, come the care of the churches daily. All that is over here. The churches. And most theologians believe that was the thorn in the flesh. It was so painful. You know how pain that would be if you all did that to me? Yeah. I would be just broken. I'm like, wow, I've been for you 19 years. Some guys come in and tell you that I done had an affair, I'm drinking, or I'm doing this and that and the other. I know that may look crazy, but whatever it is. They were able to convince the church at Corinth. And it just messed him up. He said, man, the more I love you tonight, the more you hate me. I'm in travail until Christ is formed in you. And this is how you repay me? And I hate to boast. He absolutely hated to have to boast. But he had to kind of show them that his apostleship was legitimate. Because they were saying he wasn't. He was fake. He ain't real. So he had to talk about the visions, which he would have never talked about. We would have never known about he had a vision. Because he ain't mentioning that. Why? Lest you see me above or beyond more than you ought to see me. Yeah. That's why I tell you about watching pornography from 10 years old to 29 years old. That's what I tell you about. I'm not proud to tell you about pornography, but I tell you about that because if anybody else is struggling with it, male or female, let them know that the Lord delivers. And you say, well, man, he's struggling with it. Okay, he's a pastor. We weren't born pastors. I keep telling you that. No, you don't. Y'all don't believe that. Because you just put us on a pedestal. You really do. And that's okay in a sense. In a sense. In a sense. Maybe. Wasn't born a pastor. I was born a sinner. Depression, 21 years. Early, I tell you, early or embryonic thoughts of suicide. I use that because suicide doesn't just happen overnight. You don't just wake up one day and kill yourself. There's a process because he's the most subtle beast of the field. I got to start talking to you before I get you to kill yourself. So that's why I say that these were early thoughts, or the embryonic thoughts of suicide, which for me was, don't nobody care if you was here on this earth or not. I remember thinking that at 17 years old. I was in the throes of depression. It was terrible. I tell folks that. I lie to get a car. So I was lying. I knew I was lying. Wasn't a mistake lie. Amen. Which you can't really do anyway. You ain't got to say amen so much, Miss Ann. Amen. I knew I was lying, fella. Y'all know the story. I had a summer job. What? Summer job. What kind of job? Summer job. Meaning it's going to last from this month to this month. And that's it. You can't have a summer job all year. Unless you're in California. I wasn't living in California. I'm in Michigan. Summer means summer. But I lied and stretched out my little summer salary for the whole year. Which I knew I wasn't going to have after August. But the salary looked good. I was a fresh college graduate. Nissan had a special on those, if you met those two, and they gave you a car and a nice deal. But it was a lie. I didn't know where I was going to be working after August. Got the car for 1 year, and then they repossessed it. Wasn't born a pastor. Amen. He saved me. I had to be saved like anybody else. Weak sheep. That's who we are. We're capable of nothing. Amen. We're capable of nothing. Everything we do, that's good. It's because of God. Amen. And all glory is to go to Him. Mm-hmm. And recognize that He is a shepherd for a reason. Mm-hmm. He's not just shepherd, because it's a funeral. Yeah. Here we go. Okay, quote 23, hit it. Mm-hmm. And we tend to just lose out the meaning of what. Oh, what's the richest? It's great humility that He's my shepherd. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, what are you saying? I'm a sheep. I'm a helpless animal. I'm helpless. I'm weak. I'm powerless. We don't see that part. We see finances. We see prosperity. How about He's a shepherd because you're dumb? Yeah. And you're weak. Yeah. And you wander out and you get yourself killed. And then you're going to get all anxious because you know sheep get thrown sideways real easy. So you got to tell them, lay beside calm waters. I'm putting you in green pastures. Thank you, Jesus. There was a war in my head that it was just because I didn't know Miss Darlene. You trying to figure life out. My dad ain't here. My mom did a great job, but you can't, as great as a mother is, she can't be a father. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other side journey about the black community. Great as a mother is, she can't be a father. Period. Yeah. And that's not a knock against my mother. She was a great mother and partial father. But thank God. He's a shepherd. Protects, provides, and guides. So therefore, when it says, I shall not want, means that you'll never lack in money or peace or things like that. It means you will never lack. That's true. But for what? From the shepherd properly protecting you, providing for you, and guiding you. That's what that verse means.
Amen.
You'll never lack for being properly cared for by this great shepherd. Never, oops, man, I missed that one. He wandered, I didn't even see him. Never that. Or you sitting around and hungry, ain't got nothing. Or you spiritually, you know, want spiritual food, and you man, I didn't know he was hungry. He done started believing in something crazy. Because I didn't catch it. It's never him. He is intimately acquainted with each and every one of us. That's why the Lord, through That's why the Holy Spirit, through the psalmist David, spoke the verses, spoke that verse this way. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd, but he's my shepherd. He personalized it. Going back earlier, when you're feeling some type of way, and you're thinking you're all by yourself, because you can get tricked into thinking that because we just that weak and we just that sorry and we just that no good, and that's okay. Thank God that we understand that we need Him.
Amen.
But you're just feeling some type of way, and you think maybe you're just unworthy, or you just maybe think you're not fit to live. Whatever you're having a moment with, and we're tempted with all kind of thoughts. That are not godly, that are not in line with who we are, who He says we are. How many know that's a sin?
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. When we're thinking thoughts about us that do not line up with who He says we are, then that's a sin too, because we're not no good or unworthy or in a sense. Because you're never anything beyond the power of God. But only through the power of God, the grace of God, that you are who you are, that I am who I am. And He's always there to care for us, protect us, to provide for us, and to guide us. Thank you. Providing, by the way, there's feeding, drink, whatever we need on that provision, whatever He deems that we need, because He knows better than us. Because we fool around and think, we need a healing right now. He's like, no, you need to stay sick right now because I need to knock you down and shut you down. How long was your knee thing?
6 months.
6 months. You, in your entire life almost, you've never been shut down like that, have you? No. He said, nah. that slapped him real good. Oh, I need to be healed. That's why we pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Meaning according to His will. We'll say, Lord, heal them according to Your will. But we ain't commanding God to do nothing. Quiet as it's kept. And if you are, He ain't listening. unless He wants to listen in His own sovereignty. That still had nothing to do with you.
Amen.
Oh my Lord, man, we just used to have... our chest was out here. We needed a bra on. We just thought we was just, because we just came out of that mindset, that Pentecostal mindset. You touch people, they fell out. Because they were trained to do that. He came out of that mindset. Man, I thought I was 10 feet tall. And getting it, going into Pentecostal apostolic faith really was worse for me because I needed to be humble. And here I'm going, my head getting bigger. So that was not good. That's even worse. But the Lord brought us out.
Amen.
Amen. Brought us out. Brought us out of that. And then He brought us out of the word, quote unquote, word movement. Satisfying Him, word of life. Where when I heard the Lord is my shepherd, it's like I heard it like for the first time. You know, I've been hearing it for 40 years. It sounded like it was like a brand new verse. Like, wow. The very verse means dependency. It means it's admitting that I'm nothing. I'm helpless. I'm weak. And I need You. You are my shepherd. See, the good news is the sheep doesn't have to say, I'm helpless and weak and I have no one to care for me. The good news is I'm helpless and I'm weak and I can't even protect myself. I can't guide myself. Oh, but thank God the Lord is my shepherd. Am I in the right place?
Yes, you are. Glory to God.
I'm not left without care. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when you're up in the den of iniquity, in Babylon, again, with the folks who got loan money. I mean, you've seen some loan money donors. She's at U of M. I mean, millions and maybe tens and maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars. Folks think they're God themselves. And you know she wants to slap every last one of them. But that's where humility comes, because he's like, sister, that's not my daughter, that's not your. Amen. So go get your wet washcloth, fold it up, put it between your teeth, and scream. Put it down and go back to work.
Because you need to stay focused. Word of life. Sons and daughters of God, you need to stay focused. Being a sheep means that you stay in your lane. Recognize who you are. Recognize your limitations. We get flustered. We get frustrated. We get anxious. We can become fearful. So there's the green pastures. There's the still waters. There's the restoring of the soul. Nefesh in Hebrew. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
He lets me rest in the meadows grass.
Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you,
Jesus. Stills a quiet storm.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, feel like running. Mm. And in this world, we need that every day.
Hey.
Then the verses become more real. Hey, can I get that every day? Yeah, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, with you always. Glory to God.
Amen.
And you begin to calm down. And you'll see, like, it's not that deep. Because what happens is our problems become like this. But all we see is just a problem. But when you pull that bad boy back, we're like, why, that ain't big as 1 millionth of this room, let alone the world.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do with David. Said. He said, encourage yourself. Talk to yourself. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Oh, well, what was he doing? It's not in God right now, because that's why I'm so downcast. My hope is in something else. Speak, oh Lord. Amen. We never even got back to the text. It was about being the Lord our shepherd. The time is about out. It's a reminder. We all are going through something. It's not even a prophetic utterance. It's just knowing folks,
amen,
knowing this life, knowing that we live in a sin-sick world.
Amen.
Everybody is going through something up in here.
Amen.
Family, friends, work, health. Everybody. So this is always an appropriate message. Because if you aren't feeling some type of way emotionally or mentally, you're feeling some type of way physically. If you're not feeling any type of way physically, there's your emotional and mental. He's the regulator of all of it. Physical, emotionally, and mentally. He's a shepherd. Let's read it. Well, might as well, and we'll close. The time just flies so fast. But you know what? I thank God that we let the Lord have his way. Amen.
Amen.
And I like to think there wasn't a person in here who said, oh, Lord, we done heard that so many times. I thank God for that. Because we can't ever hear the word of God too much. Let's go to Psalm. And I'm glad to go over this right quick, and it's not a funeral.
Amen.
And unfortunately, when that's quoted a lot of times, unfortunately, he's not the shepherd of the person there. He's just quoting a verse, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
You read the Old Testament scripture, you read the New Testament scripture. Old Testament scripture is really Psalm 23.
Psalm what, 23?
23, yes, ma'am. The New Testament scripture, usually John 14, that not your heart be troubled. But if you're a sinner, you're going to be troubled.
Yeah. Amen.
I know. You know.
Yes. Yes.
We were always troubled. I don't care what lifestyle you lived. Apart from Christ, you're troubled.
Amen.
There is no peace. He gives you, by his grace, he lets you let the sun wash over your face and your crops. Allows the rain to fall on the same. But the peace of God that passes all understanding? No.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And by the way, is meaning there's no doubt about it. I know this. Am I in the right place?
Yeah.
He's not saying the Lord might be my shepherd, but I really ain't sure.
No.
Let me go ask somebody.
No.
I kind of heard something about it, that he's a shepherd, but I ain't really for sure.
Oh, thank
you, Lord. You know, he's from Dartmouth Square. But he said, I ain't really for sure. He said, I ain't for sure. It's an absolute imperative, we would call it in our English, my English scholars. It's an imperative. It's declared, rather, declared, which is a statement of fact. The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm telling you, Word of Life, you say that with that understanding, I guarantee you, I'm not saying things, I am not even telling you your problem gonna disappear. But I'm telling you, you're gonna be able to stand tall in the middle of your problems. Amen?
Amen.
In the middle, the Lord is my shepherd. I ain't in this by myself.
Amen.
I'm not alone.
Amen.
The devil is a liar because he's going to always tell you, you're by yourself, don't nobody care, like me at 17.
Yeah.
Man, don't nobody care if you was alive or dead, fool. Nobody care nothing about you. If you was dead, ain't nobody going to care nothing about you. Ain't nobody going to miss you, Gregory Harris. That's where suicide begins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just had a praying mother. She just kept praying. She just kept praying. And the Lord assured her supernaturally, my son going to be all right. She always knew I was going to be all right. She always knew that. How you know that? Except the Lord stepped in and said that. Gave him peace. Gave her peace. She just always knew that.
Thank you, Lord.
But that's where I was. I was in trouble. You know a lot more than I did at this age. So you have ammunition. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Meaning he protects me. He provides for me and he guides me. He's going to protect me from my crazy thoughts. He's going to guide me through this mess. He's going to provide whatever I need. I don't even know, Lord, what I need, but you know. And you're going to provide it for me. One of the things he's going to always encourage you with is 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, I believe, grace is sufficient for you. We don't like hearing that in our flesh. We want them to say, I'm going to take it away. It's going to be done. Take two of these. Call me in the morning. We good. We want that. We don't want them to say, our grace is sufficient. Meaning, it's enough for what? For you to go through this. Now, that's the shepherd care for us, am I right? Now, remember to care, please. Let's get out of the prosperity mindset. He just provided a word. We got to understand that's a word in due season. My grace is sufficient. Son or daughter, you can make it through this. Because I promised you in my word, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, that I will not allow you to be tempted, tested, or tried beyond your ability to handle this test or temptation or trial. But God is faithful. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Who will not suffer, King James, that's the old English word, means allow me to be tempted, tested, or tried beyond my ability to handle it. I'm going to question you in the middle of your being shook up and things, am I not faithful? I said I'm faithful. Do you believe me? Yes, sir. Am I not your shepherd?
Do you believe me?
Yes, sir.
Will I leave you in dire straits right now?
No, sir.
Does a preacher who's cry because I gave you tears?
Yes, sir.
Then go ahead and cry. I'd rather you to cry than think crazy. Just let it out. And I'm serious about getting the wet cloth and putting your mouth and scream. The rappers didn't know what they were talking about. Somebody scream. Do what you got to do to keep your mind right. Job tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground. That's how he dealt with his grief. I'm not saying things don't hurt you. I'm not saying you're not going to be blown sideways by that 3 o'clock call. I'm not saying that. I've been telling you how to handle it when it comes. You have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. We have a shepherd.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll never lack. We'll never lack for him in giving proper care to us. He's going to always care for us properly. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What makes me? Because sheep don't even know to lay down. We just go to where the rocks is and fall off the cliff. Dude, green pastures? Boom, got to take your legs out. Wow, this is nice. He leads me. Look, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He has to lead me, or else we'll be all off where the desert is, where there is no water. And we're wondering why it's so hot. We just don't understand. We joke, but we see it. We just, they're not bright animals.
Right.
So he has to make us lay down in green pastures. He had to lead us beside still waters. He restores our soul. Thank you for those restorations. April Lou Caldwell, thank you for walking in the gifts of teaching. Because it allows us to have ourselves refreshed.
Amen.
I can't thank you enough.
Amen.
I can't thank you enough. That is, and I remember for like, 10, 12 years of pastoring, the first 12 years, we didn't go any, somewhere in there, it was many years we didn't go on vacation. And the Lord said, stop. You have to stop that. And I'm commanding you to go on a vacation. Because I'm like, he's going to be. See, you don't, again, the sheep, we don't realize it. Things are happening. Things are breaking down. Am I right, fella? You don't even see it. Little by little. So he began to lead me. Lead us by still water and restore our soul. Thank you, Jesus. He leads me, there's it again, in paths of righteousness for his name. This is not about us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Death, shadow of death, can also be symbolic of extreme deep darkness. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. I know that. That means you have a relationship with the shepherd and you know he's always there.
Amen.
And so therefore, because I know he's always there and because he's always shown up and he's always right on time, may not be our time, but he's always right on time.
Amen.
Then I know I don't have to fear anything. That's why as you continue to get your vertical together, we talked about that you continue to grow in that vertical. Meaning you and the Lord, as that continues to strengthen and you get closer and closer and developing a real, real, genuine relationship with you, between you and God, then when things go ziggy boom, you remain calm. There is no evil to fear because I know you are with me. Are with me. Not going to be, not was, but are. He is with me right now in the middle of this
terrible situation, deep darkness.
Amen.
So therefore, I don't fear any evil. I don't panic. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's how he used a rod to guide and push over that long thing they had. He said the crook on the end of that was gently go around the necks to bring them back to safety and fell off somewhere. All of that is him, symbolic of him leading and guiding and protecting and providing and caring for us.
Thank you, Lord.
He says casting all your cares on him because he cares for. Do we really believe that? Why so worried? Why so downcast? Are these verses just fairy tale?
No.
Is the Bible a fantasy?
No.
The rod and the staff, they comfort me. Not food, not drugs, not sex, not girls, not boys, not jobs, not status, not money. Not chasing happenings so that you'll be happy based on those happenings. That's temporary comfort, if any. And it's a futile. Yes, thank you. Pursuit was the one I was looking for. Yes, the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is one of the most frivolous, empty, vain pursuits any human being can ever undertake. One of them is the pursuit of happiness. Because that's going to let you down every single time. Because once you pursue it and you find it, it's fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The new car becomes old. She becomes whatever. You know, you just love her voice. We talk about this all the time. You know, he just sounds like Barry White. Oh, girl, you ought to hear this guy talk. But when you had enough of that voice and he calls you in that voice, it's even though he's still saying, Sally. She's hearing, Sally. Why? The voice has run out. The newness is gone. Everything runs out.
Yeah.
House gets old. The car gets scratched.
Yeah.
The girl is crazy or the guy is crazy. The children that were so wonderful and cute when they were little, now they're demons.
Yeah.
You can't stand them. They're your own kids. You know you're wrong. Two kids for one, two kids for $5. You can't sell them. You see what I'm saying? We break the comic book, but everything runs out. Everything gets old. Things get. That's an empty pursuit. Joy, which comes from the Lord, is everlasting because it's what God has done.
Yes.
And what he has done cannot be undone.
Amen.
We always say that once the blood, that blood came out of Jesus' veins, you could not run up underneath there and get the ground and get scrape it up and put it back in his veins. You couldn't undo what God had done. Once the blood was shed, you couldn't unshed it.
Amen.
That brings joy. Because with the shedding of that blood came the remission of our sins. Oh boy. Careful now. Thank you, Jesus. You prepare a table before me. Of course, you got to do it because if we were sheep, don't prepare tables. Symbolic. You see what I'm saying? We can't do it. In the presence of my enemies. Yeah, I mean, I will show you how much of a protector I am. That's the protecting part. I can make you eat a gourmet meal in front of your enemies. They won't be able to touch you. That's what's implied in there. They ain't going to bother you. Hey, you work in the den. I'm not going to bother you till God said it can. Read Job. Devil couldn't touch him until God said he could.
Amen.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Because God just overdoes. Surely. Surely. Actually, that word in the Hebrew means only. And that's something. Only goodness and mercy shall follow me. And the word mercy in the Hebrew means steadfast love. So only goodness and God's steadfast love shall follow me all
the days of my life. You know, you can't make a statement like that unless you go through verses 1-5. Meaning you know. Actually, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. And since I know that he is my shepherd, and he's going to always properly care for me, then what's going to follow me is goodness and mercy. But you got to first know that he's there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's why you can speak with such comfort and such confidence, rather, in verse 4, the B portion. I will fear no evil. Why? Because I know you're with me. And you being with me is not just anybody being with me. It's my shepherd that's with me. Protector, provider, and guide. And since he's always protecting me, and he is, since he's always providing for me in spite of myself, since he's always guiding me, then only goodness and his steadfast love are going to follow me. Because after all, he doesn't change. And he's always with you. And they're going to follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Yeah. And the King James, the Hebrew in there, forever means for length of days, meaning my entire life. Father God, help us to understand, help us to unfuneralize this verse in our heart and mind, and to really see it as the living word of God. You are literally our shepherd. It's not just some ethereal, dreamy concept. It's not some man-made construct just used to be trotted out at funerals. No, saith the Lord. This is my opening of the eyes and the heart and the soul, the revelation of who I am to you, one of my many roles that I play for you, if you will, or that I fulfill for you, that I feel for you. I am your shepherd. You are my sheep. And Jesus so beautifully said it in John 10, that my sheep hear, know, and are intimately acquainted with my voice. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Because you're always providing for us, you're always caring for us, you're always protecting us, and you're always guiding us. So we know you. Help me preach it. We know you because you're always providing, always protecting, always guiding, always leading, always, always, always. And you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's not like you guided me good this time and then you just fell off and forgot all about me the next day. You're not like mankind.
Amen.
You have friends that have turned their back on you in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Oh, but the Lord has already taken us up.
Yes.
And he has said in his word, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Father God, because of who you are, only goodness and mercy, only goodness and steadfast love of yours will follow us all the days of our lives. We will dwell in your house in Jesus' name forevermore. Let the church of God say amen.
Amen. Amen.